And be seated. You know, in my limited preaching experience, I think I've learned that it's probably not a good idea to follow something like that. Well, or either you've woken up and that's great, or I'm about to put you to sleep. No. I didn't actually ask them, but I just wanted to do this as we begin. Is Pastor Dave here? I know I've seen him, Dave. I can't see through the fog, so I'm sure he's here. There he is, okay. God has raised up Pastor Dave to help lead us during this time of transition, and we are so very grateful, amen? And then amen. God's on the move here, trust me. Things are happening. And then if you were in any way involved in the preparation or leading at Vacation Bible School, will you just stand up? Thank you. We are so grateful just for all that, how it all comes together, and what a great, great God we have. It's been a really good week. Always one of my favorite unspiritual parts of Vacation Bible School is that I never have to think about what I'm going to wear each day. We do encourage everybody to wash once or twice, but what I love too is, hey, I can wear this dressed down Sunday, so it's kind of fun. But this has been a week of all things space, all things galaxy. As you saw it in the video, I mean, from the entrance to the worship, to the snacks, to the crafts, to the science experiment, to the lessons, and all for one reason, to point to the loving, great, awesome God, amen? To point to the reality that in his greatness and mercy, he bows down to us. I mean, he bows down for us. He doesn't bow down to us. Let me get my theology right there. Okay, amen. Well, I'm about to be fired. So this has been all things space, and I kind of want to start out with a little bit of trivia, a little bit of space trivia. So does anyone here know the first animal in space? Okay, I'll tell you. It's the cow that jumped over the moon. People, you need to know your nursery rhymes, okay? Okay, so we've talked about the galaxies light years away, and so here is a question for you. Do you know what a light year is? It's like a regular year without the calories. Again, we are going to talk this morning a little bit about space and galaxies, but only that we might worship and glorify the one true living God. So if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's holy and true word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, and that means to ponder, to meditate on. When I just stop in the midst of everything and I begin to consider your heavens, O God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. And I want to read the same passage from the Message, which is a little bit different, and it's kind of more of a paraphrase, but I think it helps give us that awesome picture. I look up at the macro skies, dark and enormous. Your hand made sky jewelry. Moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why do you even take a second look our way? But he does. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me, please? Gracious Lord, may you receive all the praise and the glory. We do ponder your glorious creation, but only that we might bow at your holy feet. Oh God, we bless you for all that has gone on, and we pray in the next few moments that our hearts would just run bibline and bow before you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about space and astronomy, not for an astronomy lesson. I'm all for astronomy and science. Didn't do particularly well in school on them, but, you know, we have them because we have a God who made them. Now, a typical galaxy contains billions of stars. We are the Milky Way galaxy, and scientists estimate—they actually don't know for sure—but they estimate between 100 billion and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way alone. I mean, what is 100 billion stars, give or take? Really? And then you think of other galaxies. The next closest galaxy is like a million trillion miles away, and it has like 1 million trillion stars. I mean, when you think about being 1 million trillion miles away, forget DoorDash, forget Ubers, right? It's just incredible. And what we see in the scripture is this is not random, but the work, it says, of God's finger, His creativity. Isaiah 40, 26 says, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name." I loved having name tags this week, so I actually called people by their name. God has named the billion, trillion, gazillion stars. Because of His great power, because of His great power and mighty strength, not even one of them is lost. Amen? Now, there's a billion, trillion blinky stars in the sky, and not even one of them is lost. Job 9:9-10 says, "He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed." Like we go, I can't understand how this can be. Exactly. The scripture says we technically cannot fathom it. He does miracles that cannot be counted. We think we cannot count the stars. The miracles that He performs cannot be counted. We are getting in this passage a very small glimpse into the glory of God. That out of nothing, the good God who has always been, He is not created, but He is the creator. It speaks of His awesomeness, His majesty, that He's all-knowing, all-powerful, His all-consuming might and power. God's incredible artwork displayed. That out of however many stars there are, billion or trillion, totally uncountable to you and me, He placed them in the heavens. And what gives me such great peace is that not even one of the stars is lost. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours, the stars and me. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Amen? Amen. The greatest minds alive count them. Maybe one day ChatGPT is going to come up with a good count, but God knows them by name. And yet here's the incredible thing. Awesome, incredible, trillions and billions and zillions, never loses one, knows them by name. But He cares about you and me. Great big God has this great big love for you and me, that He comes to us. A great big awesome God cares for you and me. In fact, we are made in His image. So the stars aren't made in His image. He's made the stars. Look at yourself. You are made in His image. You know, I'm not a big soccer. What is going on today? Is it the, World Cup. I had never heard of Messi before, this summer. But I've read about him, and it's kind of interesting because, I mean, he just is a great athlete and yada, yada, yada. But God made him in a particular way. It's not like he just got up one morning and said, "I'm going to be a soccer star." God made him in His image, and He made him in an incredible way, and He had a purpose for him, and you and I are made in His image, and He has a purpose for us. In a world of copies, God made you and me an original, And then he stooped down in love, becoming one of us that we might know him. Again, with the World Cup, since I don't really follow it, but hey, why not use all the illustrations on it? Erling Haaland. You know who he is? He's that big Norwegian. He's like the best striker, football striker in the world. Well, again, I'm not really a big soccer fan, but I've seen pictures of him with kids just lined up. And as he walks by after doing something incredible on the field, they are just in awe. And then he does something kind of interesting. He'll stop. And he'll bend down and he'll like take a selfie, you know, or he'll bend down and he'll sign their jersey. And they are just amazed that this great striker would actually bend down to them. Well, he's a great striker, but he's created by God. And the creator of the heavens, who we are in awe of as we consider the works of his hands. He stooped down, not to take a selfie, you know, not just to sign our shirt, but to say, I love you. To say to us, I know in this broken world that you are lost and alone, but I love you, and I will do anything that you might know and be in relationship with me, and that anything took him to the cross, that we might know the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has not lost a star yet, knows us, calls us by name. You think you're insignificant because you're not in the World Cup? No. God looks at you and me, his best design out of creation. And he says, I love you, and you are not alone. And I will go to the furthest depths for you. So as we think about the greatness of God and the fact that this huge, big God tenderly reaches down to us, that we might know him, I want to ask you a question. And I want to hear it right. I hope I say it right. But how big is your view of God? I'm not saying how big God is, because here's the thing. Whether we believe in God or not, he exists. Whether or not we think he's big or small, he is who he is. Who he is not dependent on what we think of him. That's not my question. The question is, in the midst of all that you have in your life, all that is going on or will go on, how big is your view of God? And this is a very important question, because when our view of God is small, everything else will seem big. If God is small, we are going to seem a lot bigger than we truly are, you know? When our view of God is small, all of our problems and struggles seem so much bigger and overwhelming. When our view of God is small, what people think of us is so important and drives the way we act. When the world seems so big and shiny, our eyes focus on that which is temporary instead of the maker of the heavens and the earth and our souls, who is eternal. And when there are so many things in our lives where we focus our eyes and bow our hearts to other things, you know, God seems so far away. There's a story of a boy who was walking with his father, and he asked him, he said, Dad, how big is God? The father looked up at the sky, and just at that moment, there was a plane way overhead, and he asked the son, how big is that airplane? The boy looked up, and it was a way, way off, and he said, well, it's very small, Dad. You can hardly see it. Well, later, the father took his son to the airport, and they stood in front of the same model of plane, and he asked again, and how big is it now? The boy said, oh, Dad, it's huge. Then the father explained, that's how it is with God. His greatness depends on how close, his greatness to us depends on how close we are to him. The closer we are, the more we realize the greatness of God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you a little sermon illustration. So sometimes our view of God is very small. So we believe in God. We like vacation Bible school once a year. And yet we maybe box God in, and then our view of God is going to be whatever size the box is that we have put him in, right? Well, one of the cool things is that there are these little Jesuses. Is it called, that's what they call little Jesus? I hope this is not theologically or, you know, irreverent or anything, but so it's the idea that, you know, you can share with people, here, I just want to share with you a little Jesus, or, you know, it's just kind of a thing. Well, as I was putting this sermon together yesterday, I was thinking, oh, it'd be good to, you know, have one of these illustrations, because so often our Jesus is very, very little in our life. Our view of Jesus is very, very little. So my husband, bless his heart, went to Hallmark, where they sell these. They sell a whole array of Jesuses. Some are bigger and more plush, and then there's the little Jesus. And my husband couldn't find him. Bless his heart, he's such a servant of God that he will actually do things like this for me. I have him, he has me on speaker, and we're talking on the phone, and he's talking to the lady about where he finds the little Jesuses. And she goes, well, we used to have him right up here amongst all the other Jesuses, but you know, they've sold out because people love that little Jesus. Well, Dottie Crawford, bless her heart, brought me this. But, you know, sometimes in our life, Jesus, our view of Jesus, our worship of Jesus, our dependence on Jesus is very small, and we might put him in our pocket or in a box with the idea that we pull him out when we need him. One of the crafts this week, and I love this. I don't know if we could turn the lights down at all. I'm sorry, I hate to throw things at Nathan. He hates when I throw things at him. But this is one of the crafts, and it's a jar, obviously, and Jesus is in it, and then at the darkest, when Jesus is at the very center, what do you see? You see the lights. When Jesus is at the very center, we see the lights. Can we hear it for Nathan? I mean, most of all for God. Okay, most of all for God, but thank you, Nathan. You know, this week, our purpose at Vacation Bible School has certainly to have a lot of fun. You know, it's just been a great time. But really the purpose of this week was to help each one of our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, have a bigger view of this God. That wherever a child, whatever size God they viewed, whatever it was at the beginning of the week, that at the end of the week, our hope and prayer is that their view of God is bigger. Because life is hard. And life is a struggle, but God is good. Amen? That God is huge. And when we focus our eyes on the God who made the heavens and the earth, places the stars in place, not one of them is lost. He knows them by name. We go through something horrendous or hard, or we start to think all that about ourselves. We stop. And we think, there is a God. That's not me. And he is worthy. And he is good. And he is faithful. You know, maybe you have a church home, and we rejoice with you. We're not in competition with any other Bible-believing church. But if you don't have a church home, I encourage you to consider being part of this fellowship. You know, there's no perfect church. There really is not. There's... You know, it's a perfect church, and then I show up or you show up, and you know, there it goes, down the drain. We're a group of broken people with a huge God. There's a story I've told many times about the mother who goes in to get her son up to go to church, and she wakes him up, and she goes, come on, it's time to go to church, and he's just grumbling, and he pulls the sheet over his bed, and he goes, I don't want to go to church. She goes, what do you mean you don't want to go to church? We always go to church on Sunday. He goes, I don't want to go to church. And she goes, okay, give me two reasons why you don't want to get up and go to church. Well, number one, nobody at church even likes me. And I don't like them. And she goes, well, let me give you three reasons why you're going to get up right now and go to church. Number one, you're 50 years old. Number two, you're the pastor. And number three, you are giving this sermon this morning. You know, I know churches can be broken and hard, but God in his sovereign wisdom, the same God who placed the stars, he called the church into being. And upon this rock I build my church, Jesus said, and the very gates of hell shall not come against it. No matter what is in the world, no matter what is up and down, the church stands as the rock, on the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are a church, a Bible-believing church. We have a Wednesday program coming up for children and youth. In the fall, we have a comedy program coming up that we might come together and laugh and fellowship all clean. Not because we're perfect, because God has called us to be part of the church, to strengthen our faith, to help us have a bigger view of this God, to help us together ponder the great majesty of God's creation, and to help know that he's called me and you into relationship with him. So I close with this. Whether you are 3 years old and sitting here, 14 years old, or 43, or 103. Whenever you begin to think that God has forgotten about you, whenever you would think you are alone and life is too overwhelming, I want you to do this. I want you to go out and look at the night sky. Despite the smog, I want you to begin to try and count all the stars that you see, and you'll begin to realize you really can't because there's too many. But then I want you to say to yourself, the God who made them and hung them in place and knows their name is the God who made me in his image and has a purpose and a plan and went to the cross and died for me so that my greatest need was taken care of through Jesus Christ. Amen. That our view of God would be huge. That everything that hits us and goes at us will still be hard, sure. But in comparison to God, it will be smaller. Go out and look at the night sky. Don't worship the stars. Worship the God who set them in place. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, thank you for this incredible week. Thank you for all the hands and hearts that went into it. Thank you for the souls that you brought to hear the stories and slide down the slides and make the crafts, for the helpers, for the worship leaders up here. Lord, we pray that you would do whatever it takes in each one of our lives to draw us ever closer to you. That if we're looking at you as just a little Jesus, that God, we would bow and say, here I am, Lord, less of me and more of you. Amen and amen.